The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Yisro. And in Yisro is Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah. And in Perek Yutesh, the Torah tells us when they came to Midbar Sinai, Bachedish HaShlishi, the third month, Lotzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Misroim, after the going out of Israel from the land of Egypt, Bayim Hazer, on this day, Bo'u Midbar Sinai. They came to the mountain, to the desert of Sinai. And then the Torah relates the hachonais, the preparations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe and Israel for Matan Torah, for the giving of the Torah. There are a number of principles that we can learn from these few psukim, very important principles, in regard to the study of Torah and in regards to the kinyan of Torah, the acquisition of Torah. And I'd like to go through some of them at this time. First it states Bachedish HaShlishi, in the third month. In actuality it was not 3 months, because they left Egypt on the 15th of Nisan, and then you have 2 weeks of Nisan, and then the month of Iyar, and then Reish Chedesh Shivan is when they came to Midbar Sinai. So it was just really 1.5 months. But nevertheless, it was in the third month, because Nisan, Iyar, and Sivan. And the Torah seems to emphasize the fact, Vachedish HaShlishi, that it was in the third month. And the question arises, and the Medrash goes into it, as to why was the Torah given in the third month? What is the significance of three? We find a great significance of three when it comes to Torah in Israel. And this is a Gemara in Masechet Shabbos Daf Peches. The Gemara brings Dorish Ahu Glilo Aleho de Rav Chisda. This person darshaned to Rav Chisda, Brich Rachmona, blessed is Hashem, the Yoiv Urain Tilsoi, who gave a Torah which is made up of three elements, Le'am Tilsoi, to a nation which are made up of three elements, Al Yedei Tilsoi, through a person which is a third, B'yayim Tilsoi, on the third day, after 3 days, B'yarcha Tilsoi, and in the third month. What does all of this mean? So Rashi explains. The Torah is called the Tilsoi. It's made up of three elements. Rashi says, Torah Nevi'im Uksuvim. The written law is divided into three separate sections. There's the Torah. These are the five books of Moshe. There are the Nevi'im. This is what the prophets have taught us. And the Ksuvim, these are the writings, the Kisvei HaKodesh, the writings which were given with prophecy after the Nevi'im. For example, the Sefer Tehillim, Megillas Esther and so forth, Mishle and so on. Le'am Tilsoi, to a nation which is made up of three, that's Kahanim, Levim, Yisraelim. Klal Yisrael are made up of Kahanim, of Levim, and Yisraelim. Al Yedei Tilsoi, through a person who had a significance with three, that's Moshe. Tilsoi Levetin, Moshe was the third one born, because Miriam, Aaron, or Moshe. In his family, he was the son of Amram and Yocheved. So first they had Miriam, then they had Aaron, and then Moshe. Some learn through a third person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah through a third person. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not give it directly to Israel, but through a third person, which was Moshe. Incidentally, Rashi doesn't bring it here, but not only was Moshe the third in his family, but he also was from the family of the Levim, and Levi was the third of the Shvatim, the third son of Yaakov, and the third of Leah, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi. B'yem tilsoi, and Torah was given after 3 days. What does this mean? Because actually Torah was given on the sixth day of Shivan. It was given after 3 days where they were commanded to separate themselves for 3 days and sanctify themselves. So these were the Gimel Yomim Shoprisha and Bachedish Tilsoi. And it was given in the third month, Bachedish HaShlishi. So we see that there is a definite emphasis here. When we speak of Klal Yisrael and Torah, and the giving of the Torah, and those that were involved in the giving of the Torah were three. The Maral explains in a number of places what is the significance of three. Three always represents something which is a perfect balance. Because if you have one, it could be one off to the side. If you have another one, that could be off to the other side. So one will be to the right and one will be to the left. But the third will be in the middle of the two, and it will be mechaber, and it will join the other two together. We have a pasuk in Keheles, Achuta Mishulish Leibim Heira Hu Yimnotek, that the third string, when you make yarn, you make string, so you twine it. So it's held together by a third one. This we find also with the Gimel Ovish. Avraham put down one pillar. Yitzchak put down another pillar. But Avraham, his pillar was to the right. Yitzchak was to the left. Yaakov was known as Shlemta, as the perfection of all three Ovis, because he took what Avraham had established and what Yitzchak had established, and he brought the two together and he perfected them. So three always represents perfect balance and Shlemus, total perfection. And this is the essence and the uniqueness of Torah. Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. He's not to the right, he's not to the left, but he's perfect. And his Torah is perfect. You have during the, always, when it comes to beliefs and ideologies and philosophies and so forth, the pendulum always swings. You'll have the right wing. Sometimes it'll become very extreme and it'll go further to the right. And then the world will get tired of the right wing, and then it starts to swing towards center, but then it goes to the left, and you have your left wing. And this, if you study history, you see that the world is always going one way or the other. If they would follow Torah and the mitzvahs that were given to them, it would bring them in center, in balance, which is neither to the right or to the left. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos, he says, when it comes to the conduct of person, to the characteristics of a person, to the qualities of a person, he must perfect them. This is a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment in the Torah. How should they be? He says they always must be not to the right and not to the left, but in the center. Extremes are not good. If something is an extreme, then you know it's not Divrei Torah. Sometimes extreme can be used. The Rambam writes, Lahirosho, for the temporary answer. For example, someone has a quality that's going too much to the left. So in order to bring it to the center, he has to first go bring it all the way far to the right, and then it comes to the center. So that's just a temporary tactic. But otherwise, it must be in center. If something is to the right or to the left, it's to an extreme, then it's not Torah. He calls this, the Rambam says, this is the Derech Hashem. This is the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Maral writes that in the Mishnah and Masecht Ovis, where it states that HaTorah Nikneis B'Memches Dvorim, that a person has to have 48 qualities in order to acquire Torah, so there states, Ohev Es HaTzdokes, Ohev Es HaMeshorim, Ve'ohev Es HaTechoches. A person should have, he has to have a love for tzedakah, that's tzedakah and chesed, to be charitable, to be generous to others. He has to have a love for meshorim. Meshorim comes from the word yoshor. Yoshor means something which is perfectly straight, in the middle. And tochoches, he has to have a love for techoches. Techoches is rebuke. Now the Maral is explaining what are we dealing with. You know, there are those who say everything must be exact. You draw the line and this is it. There are those who say sometimes you got to bend a little to the, you got to bend a bit. You got to bend one way. Should always be soft. And others say, you've got to be hard. If someone, the Maral brings up, this is very important, if someone adapts to only one of those qualities, feels that the Torah must always take a soft attitude, he will not be Kena Torah, he will not acquire Torah. If someone feels the Torah always has to take a hard attitude, he will not acquire Torah. If someone feels that the Torah always must take a totally straight attitude and never turn to the right or to the left in certain instances, also he will never acquire Torah. These are the ideologies and the philosophies of the world. The Torah is all-encompassing, and it's a blend of all three. And that's why we find that most of the laws of the Torah are yoshor. They're in the middle. But sometimes we find that the Torah says, go lifnim mishuras hadin. Say, do more than what is required. For example, even though the money really belongs to you, give it to the other person. This is the soft side, the tzedakah. Other times the Torah can take a very, very hard line. These are the techoches. The Torah. Today you have all kind of discussions about the death penalty. The Torah did not hold back at all when it saw that the death penalty was required. Now, for a person to be able to acquire Torah, he has to be able to identify with all of Torah. Therefore, it states he has to be able to identify with tzedakah, with Meshorim, and with Techoches. This is why it states, Pikudei Hashem Yeshorim Mesamchei Lev, Toras Hashem Tumima. The Torah is called Yoshor and Tomim. Yoshor means it is the ultimate of straightness, not to the right or to the left, and therefore it's the ultimate perfection. This is the emphasis of why B'Chedesh HaShlishi, after 3 months, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them Torah. Because the whole Torah is a tilsoi. It's based on these three legs in order to come to a total perfection. Further it states in that same posuk, Bayim Hazer Bo'u Midbar Sinai. On this day they came to to the desert of Sinai. Rashi says Lo haya tzorech lichtev ela b'yemahu. Should have said on that day. We're referring to a day of the past. On that day they came to Mibar Sinai. Why does it say on this day? That's as if to say today they came to Har Sinai. So he says, "Shedivrei Teira Chadoshim Alecha Kilo Hayem Nitnu," because the Torah, when you learn it, it must be something that you're learning in the present tense, not something that you're learning in the past tense. The Torah every day must be new to you, as if Hayom Nitnu, as if today it was given. That's why it says, "Bayim Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai." On this day they came to the desert of Sinai, not on that day. Now, what is the meaning of this? I mean, we're studying something which was given a good few thousand years ago. So, what does it mean that every day you learn the Torah, you're learning something that was given now, or something that is new? Rashi, in Parshas Vayeschanan, brings a similar drosha, because there also it says Hayom. Voyu advori meila asher anochi mitzavcha Hayom, today. And he brings a similar drosha, and there the expression of the Chazal is Ein ze kedut komo yishono. This is not like a decree which was given a long time ago by a king, but this is like a new decree. When a new decree comes out from a king and it's put up on the board, he says, "Hakol rotzin likrosei," everybody runs to read it. This is how one must go to Torah. Now the question is, though, how can this be? There are a number of explanations in this. The basic explanation is because this is not a decree. Like you go into a museum and you see there the Magna Carta or other such decrees that were given 1,000 years ago, and they're munach bekupsho, they're in a glass case, preserved for time. This is not an old decree, but it states that these words that one learns are coming from Sinai every day that a person learns them. They are advorim arsmeichim, advorim achayim, kiyayim shenitnum b'Sinai. This is the essence of Torah, is it's alive. If someone wrote a book 500 years ago, it lost its life 500 years ago after he finished writing it. The words of Torah are in essence alive. The Gemara says that when someone learns Torah to the level that he should learn Torah, Hadvorim Smeichim Kenisinosin B'Sinai, the words have the life and the simcha in them they had and they were given at Sinai. Because Torah is not from this world, it's from another world. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to keep giving, he has to keep teaching Torah into this world. He didn't distance himself or cut himself off from the Torah. But it's like a mayon, like a spring. The Gemara calls a mayon, a spring, mayim chayim. As long as it's still connected to its source, it's live waters. The waters are alive. If you connect it from its source, you take this water and you put it in a vessel, or you cut off the source and you make like a small pond out of it, then no longer is it Mayim Chayim, because it's been severed from its source. And when one learns Torah, he is learning Torah which is Mekushar, which is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly is giving to the world. And this is why Dovid HaMelech would always be mispalo that he wants Torah Spicho, the Torah from your mouth, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly giving to his people. And we find not only this is true by the great Talmidei Chachamim. It states that the Eino Olam Miskayim Ela Al Hevel Piv Shel Tinei Shel Beis Rabban. Even when the children learn, and they learn the Torah, and those words that they are saying over, this gives fortitude, and it gives strength to the world. This is what is meant where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Im le'brisi yem v'layla chukos shamayim v'oretz le'shamtiv. If not my covenant to be studied by day and night, then the world together with its heaven and earth would not exist. Because the words of the Torah are constantly coming down when they are being learned. If they are not being learned, he's not giving forth these words to no one. If they are not being learned, then they do not come into this world. If they do not come into this world, then he said the world cannot exist. But if they are being learned, then they are coming into this world. Im le'brisi yem v'layla chukos shamayim v'oretz le'shamtim. If not for my covenant being learned day and night, which brings the words into this world, then chukos shamayim v'oretz le'shamtim, the heavens and earth won't be able to stand. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Hamalamei Teira L'chol Yisrael. He is constantly teaching Torah L'chol Yisrael. So if that's the case, these are new decrees that are coming all of the time when we learn them. And it's not something that's old. And therefore, it has to be Kechadoshim, that when you learn something, even though you might have learned it many, many times, it has to be Kechadoshim, where it's new. Another explanation in this, these explanations are all true, is the Maral brings that in reality we cannot make a full acquisition of Torah because it's too far above us. Even when we acquire Torah, we're Kena Torah, and even though it's called Uteirasa Yegeyim Valayla, David HaMelech said in the beginning of Tehillim, Kim Beteiras Hashem Chetzai, when a person desires with all of his heart Torah Hashem, B'seirasa Yege Yema V'laylo, and he will meditate in his own Torah day and night. It becomes his own Torah. The Torah that we learn becomes ours. But even though it becomes ours, it cannot be an acquisition in totality. What's the source to say that? This we have a source from Dovid HaMelech also. Because Dovid HaMelech said, he said, Gero Naichi Be'eres Nochriyo, I am but a stranger in a strange land. And the Chazal say he was referring to his Torah. No matter how much he learned Torah and how great he became in Torah, and if you look at the Sefer Tehillim, you see how great he became in Torah. There is so much Torah and even Sisrei's Torah, the great secrets of the Torah there. He said, Ger Anochi Be'eres Nochriyo, I'm a stranger. I constantly feel like a stranger in Torah. Because it comes from a world far beyond us. See, even when we acquire it, we grasp it. So the Maral says, this is what the Chazal mean when it states, Kosha liknais ki kesev izov, v'neach lishtaber kiskuchis. It is as difficult to acquire as silver and gold, and it's as easy to break as glass. Gold and silver is difficult to acquire, but once you have it, you have it. Glass, you have today and it's gone tomorrow. The Torah, if you're not careful with it, because even an acquisition on it, we're only grasping it, we can lose it. So therefore, when a person, if a person has a strong acquisition on something, it becomes old to him. But by Torah, that he never really has a full acquisition. So every time he learns it over, he's bringing it back to himself. Therefore, it's kechadoshim. It's like something which is new. Another explanation in this. This is also, all of these explanations are true. The Maral says in another place that when it comes to great things from the other world, especially Torah, you cannot limit them with time, because they come from a world where there is no limitation of time. In this world, in the physical world, there is today, there's yesterday, and there's tomorrow. So you have a present, a past, and a future. And that's because this world is always moving. Time is always moving. And therefore, time goes on. But time is, and therefore something can be new and then become old. Today it's new, and tomorrow already it's old. Why? Because it's in the past. Old becomes synonymous with something in the past, not with the present. But time is part and parcel of the physical world. We've gone into this at depth, which we will not go on now. But time is part of the physical world, because basically it's the measurement of the movements of the celestial bodies in relationship to the earth. This is what the essence of time is. And time is limited to space. For example, if you ask someone, what time is it? So he'll tell you, it is 7 o'clock in the evening. So it's 19 hours. That's not true. It's not 19 hours. It's not 7 o'clock. That's not true at all. Why? Because at this very instant, when you told me that it's 7 o'clock, 19 hours, if you'll go 500 miles to the west, it'll be only 6 o'clock at this very instant. And if you'll go 500 or 1,000 miles to the east, it'll be not 1900, but 2000. So when you're telling me it's 7 o'clock now, but over there it's 8 o'clock, and over there it's 9 o'clock, and over there it's 6 o'clock, and over there it's 5 o'clock. So how can you tell me it's 7 o'clock? So actually, what are you telling me? You're telling me it's 7 o'clock here in Johannesburg. But in other places, at this very instant, it's a different time. So we see that time is part and parcel of space. Time, its whole essence, is related only to Malkum, to space, to a physical world. So therefore, things which are physical relate to time. And if they relate to time, they relate to movement. And if there's movement, so then there was what was yesterday, and that's today, and tomorrow. There's an Ovar, and there's a Heva, and there's a Habo. And therefore they relate to what you could call age, something that becomes old. Something that was today, but now it's yesterday, that's old. But Torah doesn't come from a physical world. It comes from a spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there is no Mokum, there is no space, there's no physical space, and there's no physical time. That's why it is known as the Olam HaNetzach. It's a time without a beginning and without an end. There is no movement of time. Therefore, when you bring that, when you attach yourself, identify yourself, associate yourself with that essence, you're associating yourself with something which is timelessness, timeless. And therefore, there is no yesterday, or there is no today, or there is no tomorrow. And therefore, whenever you learn it, it's kadoshim. It is never kidyuk, Yishona, like something which was old, like a Magna Carta that's sitting crumbling in a museum for thousands of years. From all of this we understand why the Chazal said that you must learn over and over and over. Chazora, constantly revise, besides its depth, but because of where it's coming from. And the Gemara says, in a day Mamisha Chazer Kuf Pomim, Lamisha Chazer Kuf Alef Pomim. You cannot compare someone who has learned something 100 times to someone who has learned something 101 times. This is a concept that you cannot understand in the secular world. Because when it comes to secular wisdoms, we are speaking of physical wisdoms. And it's not necessary to learn physical wisdoms 100 times. But when it comes to Torah and you're speaking of a wisdom that's beyond us and is constantly eluding us, there it's necessary to learn it not even 100 times, but 101 times. And each time you learn it, you learn more from it. And then we can understand with this what the Chazal tell us. It states, what should a person's attitude be when he comes to learn Torah? It says he must come to learn Torah the way Klal Yisrael came to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. Ma hosam, it states. There it was be'ema, ube'yire, ube'reses, ube'zeya. They came to Har Sinai with the greatest fear and trepidation and trembleness to receive Torah. This is how one has to approach Torah. And then he can absorb what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to teach him. So this is the second principle that we learn from the word Bayim Hazel Bor Midbar Sinai, to teach us that when we come to study Torah, it should be not like something which is old, but Divrei Torah Chadoshim Alecha, but it should be new, because in reality it's new, Ki La'ayim Nitno, like it was given today. Another principle. In Posuk Beis it states, in the next Posuk, Vayisu Merefidim, they journeyed from Refidim, Vayavou Midbar Sinai, Vayachnu Bamidbar, they came to the desert of Sinai and they camped in the desert, Vayichan Shom Yisrael Neger Ohor, and they camped there opposite the mountain. When it states Vayichan Shom, they camped there, it should have stated Vayachanu, Rabim, plural. They camped. Instead it states Vayichan, which is singular, which means he camped. He camped there, Israel, opposite the mountain. So Rashi brings, why does it say singular? Ki ish echod b'leiv echod, like a single person with one heart. Even though other campsites were betarumas or b'machlekes, was with division. They were divided. There were quarrels. Here was ki ish echad b'yichan shom Yisrael neged Ahor. Yisrael camped. Yisrael, he camped there, opposite the mountain, to tell us they were ki'ish echod, like a single person, belev echod, with one heart. They were totally united. Here, the Maral tells us another great principle. He says it just didn't happen that on all the other campsites they were quarrelsome and there was division and there was machlekes and so forth and so on, and they were divided into different camps. And this campsite, they were united. He says, it didn't just happen. It had to be like this. And if it was not like this, then the Torah would not have been given. Why? We constantly speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being Echod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. There is no division in him. There is no duplicity in him. Hashem Echod. And we constantly speak of Yisrael being Echod. Mi ki amcha Yisrael ve'echod bo'oretz. Who is like Yisrael, one nation, the Achdus, where they are one and they are not divided. And we also speak of the Torah that's one. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one. There can be no division in him. In other nations in the world, there can be divisions. They don't have to be united like one person. But Yisrael, that is bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are in totality one, united. Not only are they totally united amongst themselves, but they are united with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And his Torah is totally united. We've mentioned his Torah is perfect. This means there cannot be nothing. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing can be taken away from it. And it cannot be divided. And all three are totally united with each other. It states in the Chazal, Kuchibrichu v'uraisim Yisrael chadu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his Torah and Israel are all bound up together as one. This oneness is not just important, but it is not negotiable. Therefore, when they came to receive the Torah, and they had to receive the entire Torah, the whole Torah was given at Sinai, nothing was left over, they had to be totally united, where they could totally identify and bind themselves to the Torah and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they were receiving then a Torah Shlema. They had to be like that. We find that the last Churban, for example, of the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Sheni, there they were divided. The Gemara brings that the Churban came about because of division. From Sinas Chinam, hatred and Loshon Hara, Akamsa Bar Kamsa, like the Gemara says. Because of that, we became scattered over the entire world. This was the Golus. In other words, our oneness was ruined. We became divided all over the world. This not only affected ourselves, but this affected the Torah also. And that's why the Gemara says, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, which says that there'll come a time in the Golus when it'll be lemotzinu, you will not be able to find mishna brura v'halocha brura b'mokem echod, that we will not be able to find a mishna in its complete totality and a halocha in its complete totality in one place. You'll find a little here, a little there. This halocha you'll be able to clarify 75%, and then you'll have to go to another place. It'll be scattered all over. So the Maral explains, because the nishmas, the soul of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Yisrael and Torah are all bound together. And if there's a division in one, it causes a division in all. So in order to receive the Torah Shlema, we had to be ki'ish echad, like one person. Later on, when it came to the Churban, and we were divided, so the Torah also became divided, and we weren't able to find a Mishnah Echod v'halocha, Mishnah Brura v'halocha Brura b'mokem Echod, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu also became divided. Kaviyochel, that's why there was the Churban of the Beis HaMikdash. His Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Shekhinah became divided, the Shekhinah was scattered all over the world together with Klal Yisrael. From here we learn the importance when it comes to Torah of Shalom, of Achdus B'Yisrael. It's interesting that the word used here is Bayahanu, Bayicham. They camped. They were one camp. When Klal Yisrael is divided into many camps, like unfortunately we find today, this is the greatest klola for Klal Yisrael. And this affects Yisrael, affects the Torah, and affects the Shekhinah. The Rambam brings at the end of Hilchos Chanukah he says, if a person had enough money to buy, he's quoting the Gemara of Sechta Shabbos, but then he adds his own. He says, if a person had enough money to buy a candle for Shabbos, or a candle for Hanukkah, and it was Shabbos Hanukkah, which should he give priority to? Or another case, he has enough money to buy a candle for Shabbos, or wine for Kiddush. They're basically Kiddush Hayom. What should he give priority for? So he says, in these cases, he must always give priority to Ner Beisai, to the candle for Shabbos, over the candle for Hanukkah, and over for Kiddush Hayom, the wine. Mishum Shalom Beisai. Because Ner Shabbos represents Shalom Beisai, the peace of the house. And that must come first. And he says a reason, Shari Hashem, Nimchak Lasi Shalom Beinish Lishta, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even erased his name in order to bring peace between man and his wife. But then he concludes and says, Godel HaShalom, how great is Shalom? Shekol HaTorah Nitno Lasi Shalom Ba'elam. He says, this is the whole reason for the whole Torah. The whole reason for the Torah, he says. The whole Torah was given, he says, to make Shalom Ba'elam, to make peace in the world. That her ways are ways of pleasantness and all of her paths are peace. She's bringing, why is it that the Ner Beisai, the candle for Shabbos, is so important that it takes priority over even over these other mitzvahs of wine for Kiddush and Ner for Hanukkah, Pisum Nisan? She says, because of Shalom. The Kol HaTorah Kula Nitna, because the whole Torah was given for the purpose Lasei Shalom Ba'elam, for the purpose of peace. Here we see that these people that are so easy to make machlekes and to make division in the so-called name of Torah, you have to assess the situation very carefully. Because when it came to receiving the Torah, when the full Torah was brought in the world, we had to be vayichan ki ish echad bevelev echad, like one person totally united. Now the principle in Pasuk Gimel, it states Umesha ol elakim, Mesha went up to Hashem, went up the mountain, and Hashem called to him from the mountain, Lemor saying, Kosomar Levei Yaakov Vesagid Limnei Yisrael. This is what you should say to the house of Yaakov, and this is what you should tell to the Bnei Yisrael. The question here is, why are we divided? There's Beis Yaakov, the house of Yaakov, and the children of Israel. And by one it states, Kosomar, this is what you shall say, and the other it says, Vesagid, this is what you shall tell them. So Rashi brings the Gemara. The Gemara says, Beis Yaakov Elo Anoshim. The house of Yaakov refers to the women, because they are always referred to as the Bais. They are the Akeres HaBais, the foundation of the house. The Bnei Yisrael, this refers to the men. Alright. Now the question is, but why? What's the separation? See, Matan Torah was given to everybody at one time. So why did he tell Mesha, speak to the women and speak to the men? Now this was both on the in instructions and the giving of the Torah. And Hashem changed his language. By the women it said Kosomar. By the men it said Sageid. So Rashi says, Kosomar is Loshen Rako. Kosomar means softly. When you speak to the women, speak to them softly. Sageid, that means strongly. When you speak to the men, speak to them strongly. Rashi says, Onshin v'dikdukin perash v'zachorim. And Sageid is kosho dvorim akoshin kigidim. Sageid comes from the word gid. Gid is like a tendon, which is very hard. When you speak to the men, you have to tell it the way it is. You tell them, this is what you must do. If you do it, you receive reward. If you do not do it, the nichroso, you will be cut off. See? In other words, you speak to them mercilessly. Women, loshen racha. There you have to speak very gentle and very softly. The here you have a source in the Torah that you don't speak to a woman the way you speak to a man. See, this is the source of what is known as being a gentleman. The Maral brings, he says as follows, Hanoshim yose mekablim, this is in the Goraya, Hanoshim yose mekablim divrei ritzoi upitoi mimashim mekablim mekeach gizum lefishen nivolim mekeach gizum. Women are more recipient of divrei ritzoi upitoi, of gentle talk, of enticement, where things should be made appealing, than keach gizum, than hard talk, which is not fashioned to appeal to them. Because when they hear hard talk, to the contrary, they get confused, they get upset. So therefore, and now here we were speaking in regards, he wanted Klal Yisrael, he told Moshe, go down and ask them, will they accept my Torah? So you have to explain to them. So the women, you have to explain in a way where it's appealing to them, in a gentle way, in a way of enticement. Aval anoshim, but men, mekablim yesem mekeagizum in dvorim rakim. Men are just the opposite. If you come to the men with soft talk and you make it very enticing, yeah, they'll accept it, but they might not accept it. Lekach lefish lekach anoshim beloshen kosher. Therefore, with men, you have to tell them exactly, this is what happens if you do it, and this is what happens if you don't do it. And then they accept it. So from here we hear, there are two drochim. That the way you teach Torah to men is not the way you teach Torah to women. And the way you teach Torah to, because it won't succeed. And the way you teach Torah to women is not the way you teach Torah to men, because it won't succeed. He says, if you approach a subject in a very hard fashion, he says, "Anoshim shehim nivolim." The women, they get upset, they become confused. On the other hand, if you speak to men and you make it too soft, then it bounces off of them. It's not absorbed by them. The Maral brings out another point here. He asks, all right, Moshe was instructed by Hashem, put it one way to the men and put it one way to the women. But why was he told to go to the women first? It states, Kosomar leveish Yaakov, this is what you should say to the women. V'saged livnei Yisrael, and this is how you should tell it to the men. But why the women first? So he says that when it comes to accept something, if it's put in the right fashion, the women will be first to accept. They will accept before the men. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make sure that this was all successful, this whole enterprise. And they won't turn Moshe down and say, we don't want the Torah. So he not only instructed him, you see, he was instructing him in a strategy. See? He not only instructed him how to put it to the men and how not to put it to the men and how to put it to the women and how not to put it to the women, but he said, first speak to the women. And then once they accept it, and they're easier if it's put to them right, then speak to the men, and already you have got half the job done because the women accepted it first. One final point. In Pasuk Hey, Va'ato im shema'ati shmo b'keli, and now, if you will listen to my voice, Ushmatim es brisi, and you will guard my covenant, Yisem li skula mikol amim, then you will be the most precious to me from all of the nations. Ki li kol oris, because the entire land is mine. Rashi asks, what does it mean by ato? And now, im shema tishmu, if you will listen to my voice. So Rashi brings, just trying to find the Rashi here. Im ato tikablo aleichem yi'orab lochem mikan ve'ilach. If now you will accept my Torah, then it will become very pleasant and wonderful to you later. Shikolash kolash koshes. All beginnings are difficult. If you will accept it now, even though it will be difficult, later it will become very pleasant and wonderful to you. Shikolas kolish koshes, all beginnings are difficult. Now, this is true with all acquisitions of any value. In the beginning it's difficult. Alhamdulillah, you start a business, or you go to university. The beginning is very difficult. But The further you go, the more you conquer, it becomes easier and it becomes pleasant. But then this is akasha. So this is true by anything. So what's the chiddush by Torah? The chiddush, the uniqueness by Torah, is from a few points. Firstly, the difficulty of acquiring anything is kefi hashivui, is in accordance to its value. We know it. Things of little value, you can acquire easily. If they're more valuable, they're more difficult to acquire. You want pearls, you've got to dive to the bottom of the sea. You want gold, you have to dig deep into the ground. Therefore, Torah, which is the greatest value, it states Torah is even greater than Keser Kuna and Keser Malchus, even than the crown of priesthood and the crown of kingship, which was given to Klal Yisrael. It's Godel Mikulan. If it's the greatest value, it's going to be the most difficult to acquire. So therefore, this principle will certainly apply in full force by Torah. So in the beginning, it'll be difficult. But later on, Yehorav Alecho, later on, it will become pleasant and wonderful to you. But then there's another reason here also. And that also is brought out by the Maral. Anything we try to acquire in this world is not going contrary to us. We want to acquire gold or silver or money or whatever it might be. This is not contrary to our nature. It's from the physical world and we're physical. Torah is contrary to the nature of man. Because the nature of man comes from this world and Torah comes from another world. It's contrary to the teva. The nature of man is he doesn't especially want to work. Yeah. He wants to have a good time. He wants to do whatever his desires tell him to do. He wants to do whatever his emotions tell him to do. So Torah, to be limited, to be restricted, or to be driven by a master, this is contrary to the physical nature of man. So here we're speaking about acquiring something which is contrary to the person. And therefore it requires shfiras hateva.
When a person learns Torah, he is breaking his physical nature. He is mastering over his physical nature. And he becomes a ruler over his physical nature. And this is why it is so difficult. It is for this reason that it states, Gimel Dvorim were nitnu b'yisurin. Three things were given to Israel b'yisurin only through great difficulties. The first was Torah. Next was Eretz Yisrael. We see Eretz Yisrael, all of the difficulties that we have to go through. And then Olam Habo, the world to come. And the Maral explains this all for the same reason. Because these are elements which are not from this world. And therefore it's contrary to the physical nature of man, to the earthly nature of man. And it requires Shviras HaTever, where he has to become a master and break the earthly nature of man, where he has to guide it and master over it. And therefore, it's only Nikdom B'Yisurin, it takes great difficulty. You see, the whole Shibud Mitzrayim, this that we were in Egypt for 400 years, was to prepare us for the giving of the Torah. Now, if that's the case, so why do we say, Mikar Lahabu Yerav Lecho, later on it will become wonderful? The answer to that is, besides the fact that we gain ground and we acquire more and more and we climb in the levels of Torah, but the Gemara tells us a great secret. The Gemara in Sanhedrin states, when a person gives himself to Torah and he commits himself to Torah and he grows in Torah, then the Torah comes and reveals herself to him. It states, Sod Hashem Lireov. The person pursues and tries to understand the depths of Torah, and tries to understand the great wisdom and the great secrets of Torah. After a while, when the Torah sees how loyal he is to her and how much he wants her, then she in turn, Sod Hashem Lireov, she in turn reveals her secrets to him. And that's why it becomes Ye'orav Lai Mikan Lahabo. Afterwards it becomes wonderful and pleasant. He gets greater depths, which is given to him. This is, though, the Gemara says, this is only someone who totally gives himself over to the learning of the Torah. That's why it's brought Yu'ameli B'Torah, that the ikar of the study of Torah is to labor in the Torah. This was something which was always emphasized by the Telza Rosh Yeshivas, in particular of Gifter, is the constant labor in Torah. A person labors and labors, not only is he transforming himself and he's transforming his own nature, but then when the Torah will see how much he's laboring in order to understand her great secrets, she will come and she will give her secrets over to him. Sod Hashem Lireov, the secrets of Hashem the Torah gives to those who fear him. And that's what it says. For example, Habolatayer Messiah Nesri. Someone comes and he wants to purify himself. Be'emes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps him then. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Harchev Pihu Vamalehu. Open your mouth and I will fill it. And this the Chazal say, Pishu Li Pesach Kehudei Shel Machat. You open your heart, you just have to open your heart the amount of a mouth of a needle. Vani eftach locho pesach ku'ulam shel heichel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will open that opening your heart, like the ulam was the great entry hall, shel heichel, in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, one thinks, how can I ever understand Torah? It's so deep, it's so difficult, it's so beyond me, and there's so much. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, open your heart the amount kechudei shel pecha, kechudei shel machat. Not even the mouth. Kechudei is the tip of the needle. Open your mouth, the amount that the tip of a needle. Harche piyu v'amalehu, and I will open you keulam shel hechel, like the great entry hall of the Beis Hamikdash. I will fill you with this wisdom. And this, the Mechilta brings, the Maral brings, the Mechilta here brings, on the same posuk. And that's what it's telling us. It states, V'ato im shamoa tishmu. And now, if you will labor, even though it's great difficulty, im shamoa tishmu, what is the double phrase? If you will listen, you will surely listen. So the Mechilta says, Shoma achas mashmil le mitzvahs harbe. You learn one mitzvah, I will teach you many mitzvahs. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, Ato, if you will labor in my Torah, and you will sweat over my Torah, and you will toil, and you will give yourself to the Torah, then Shoma tishmu. Not you will understand what you learn. You learn one mitzvah. Shoma achas. Mashmiya mitzvahs harbe, I will teach you then many mitzvahs. So that's what it means. Ato tikablu, he was trying, according to Baruch Hu, was trying to make sure to convince the people to accept this Torah. And they said, look, they were thinking, it's so difficult, it's so big. So he says, and he instructed Moshe what to tell them, and how to tell them, how to speak to them, and the men and the women. He says, tell them this. See? Ato, if you accept it now, Shemaya Tishmu, don't worry. You learn one mitzvah, I'll teach you. For every one mitzvah you learn, I'll teach you many mitzvahs. And then, Ye'orev Loi, it will become very pleasant and wonderful. These are a number of principles, very important principles, that we learn from the parsha of the preceding of the giving of the Torah.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway, 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.